LinkedIn is great at documenting your experience mm-hmm. and your accolades and your credentials.
Mm-hmm.
But what about all the things you contribute to mm-hmm. in a company mm-hmm. over the course of however many years you're with them? You can talk about through your experience, but there's really no software to prove that you contributed to this piece of IP.
Right.
And so we saw it as a way of empowering the creators. And that's still one of our core missions is we're building for the creator, not necessarily for the company. The mm-hmm. company owns and manages,
right.
but the people are the ones that you really want to get fired up and incentivized to mm-hmm. create IP for mm-hmm. you.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Hourly to Exit podcast. I'm your host, Erin Austin, lawyer, mama of kid and doggy, tennis player, once and future trail runner, YouTube addict, and dreamer. I provide legal tips and bits for turning your expertise into recurring revenue, turning your time-intensive hourly-based business to one that is scalable and hopefully one day saleable is the journey from hourly to exit. This podcast is for experts, consultants, coaches, and other professional services providers with sophisticated corporate clients. If you're investing in the growth of your business, you need advice and resources that address the issues that set you apart from other service-based businesses. Those templates for online businesses don't mean a thing when your client sends their 50-page master services agreement to you for signature. Stop playing small because you don't know how to protect your ideas. Hourly to Exit is here to show you how to navigate the maze of contracts and intellectual property issues so that you can safely and profitably share your ideas with clients and with collaborators. Before we dive in, please remember that this podcast provides general information only. The content of this podcast should not be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. The information presented is not intended to be a substitute for professional legal consultation. Each legal situation is unique, and the laws and regulations can vary widely by location, and they do change over time. For specific legal advice regarding your individual circumstances, please consult with a qualified attorney who can address your specific needs. Now, let's get started with today's topic. Hello, ladies. Welcome to this week's episode of the Hourly to Exit podcast. As you can tell, this is a new and exciting location for us. I'm very excited about today's guest, as well as this conversation. I know it's going to be a great one for you. So welcome, Nate.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, great. So we have Nate Hecker, who is the CEO of Big Idea with us. And so I'm going to let Nate tell you about his company, but this is a topic that I know a lot of you have been interested in, understanding how to inventory and protect your intellectual property, ways to license it and to monetize it. And so we're going to cover all these things today. So Nate, can you introduce yourself and the audience to your company?
Absolutely. Like you said, I'm Nate Hecker. I am the CEO and co-founder of Big Idea, the creator of the Big Idea platform. So Big Idea platform is a revolutionary new type of platform that will help with IP management in the digital age. So we take a different type of approach. We use crypto ledgers and blockchain behind the scenes to enable IP into the digital age, into the intelligent age, and try to hopefully shake up this industry a bit and be a driving force of good impact.
So before you go any further, because I know that crypto and blockchain is a big mystery for me, most of us. So just give us the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, most people shy away when they hear blockchain. Yeah. It's a very scary, disruptive technology. They immediately think of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. Yeah. But we look at blockchain as a technology. So there's a lot of good things blockchain can do as a utility. So one of those things, when we talk about time stamping something or proving authenticity or even assigning ownership or attribution to something, blockchain can act as a public notary almost. You can think about it as an immutable database that is completely public. And if you find creative ways to use that in your technology, you can really disrupt a lot of spaces. And we think IP is one of those spaces where it can be disrupted with.
Well, how did you get here? How did Big Idea come to be?
It's a bit of a journey. It wasn't an aha moment all of a sudden. It definitely came to us over the last few years. So my background is actually in healthcare technology. So I spent the last decade or so in that world, really specializing in data interoperability, as well as security, compliance, and privacy. So this is a new space for me, I will say, just being in it for the last 2 years. But about 2 years ago, the company I was with was being acquired. And so, as you know, with any type of acquisition, the future gets a little fuzzy.
I've been there.
So it gave me the opportunity to pick my head up a bit and say, okay, what do I want to do next? And the obvious answer would be do something in your lane in healthcare. But when I entered the space, it was, you know, doctors still wrote on notepads and they still had medical record rooms, which now, fast forward 12 years later, none of that exists anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a very mature, very standardized industry. And so we looked to re-enter that space. We saw it as a challenge, right? It was not as much opportunity in that space to come in as a startup company. And so my good friend and I, now my business partner and co-founder, Jared Arnold, he and I sat down and just started going through different types of business ideas. We had 20, 30 different business ideas that we were working on and going through and doing market analysis and product fit. We started realizing as we were doing all this research, we had nowhere to put all this. And even though we thought we had some good ideas, like maybe it wasn't right for us, it could be right for someone else. We were using Google Sheets and Excel and Notion to track all of this, but there wasn't a platform for us to be able to like get feedback or collaborate on. And so we said, well, why don't we look at the idea management space? So we started going through the idea management place and seeing if this could be a viable product. And one night, I have this poster in my office that says, ideas are worthless without execution. And everyone loves to say that, right? Everyone's got $1 million idea. Ideas are worthless. Ideas are
dime a dozen.
You've heard them all. So we decided like to challenge this a bit. Like, well, why is that the case? Because ideas aren't worthless. Mm-hmm. Every great new innovation that comes about starts with an idea. Every new product feature, every new service offering, it starts with someone having an idea. As you collaborate and as you iterate, ideas, they start to take shape. They start to take form. Yeah. You go through the different stages and get to strategy, get to planning. And we see this now as ideas have potential to have a lot of value, especially the more they get worked on.
To their seeds, right?
Yeah, their seeds, right? And so we went back and we really challenged us. Okay, well, why are ideas worthless? Well, the hard thing is, once you say an idea to somebody, well, who owns that idea?
Right.
And if you say it to a dozen people or 20 people, it loses more and more value because now everyone sort of knows that idea. And that's where all of a sudden we were like, blockchain can fix this. So we have the ability of taking an idea and once documented, we can timestamp, we can then prove authenticity of that idea happened at this time, and we can assign ownership and attribution to it. So we really started going down this. And at the time, we didn't realize we were actually in the IP space. So we were actually building a really good software for trade secrets and know-how and copyrights.
Right.
And so that's where we sort of came about and we started looking at the IP space and realizing after studying it for almost a year of being in it and really looking at what's currently available in the space, it was established. It had software, but not a lot of new software. It was very academia, and it reminded me a lot of what healthcare looked like 10 years ago. And so it got us really excited.
You used the term idea management. I've never heard that term before. Is that something?
Yeah. I mean, our original concept was, you know, I came from corporate for my last few years of working, and we would always use consultants for everything to validate. I know that working in smaller companies, great ideas come from your entry-level employees, employees that are working on your product every day, dealing with customers, but these ideas weren't getting up to senior leadership, or they were getting lost in middle management. We started off with this idea management software, and that's sort of where we started. But there is a lot of companies that do idea management. Not a lot of companies utilize it, but there are companies out there that do idea management.
Now, how did you know what you're working on was IP? When did that connection get made and how?
That's a good question. I just knew that we really started looking at ideas. Ideas are really trade secrets, or they can be.
They can be.
And so that's sort of where we started. We really started, we shift immediately to ideas into trade secrets because we saw this as a space of not many people know what a trade secret is, let alone how to classify it or protect it. And my background being in security and privacy, I spent the last 10 years protecting PHI, or sorry, personal health. Health information. And I realized, like, I reflected on my career, we didn't spend a lot protecting our trade secrets, our know-how. And we realized that there was an opportunity here if we can teach people properly what a trade secret is, how our software can help with it, really focus on the people, process, and technology piece, and being a technology piece that helps streamline that process, there might be something here.
And so did you have a vision or a mission in mind when you first started, or was it just, how can I use what I know in a way that's interesting to me and valuable to people?
I would say it was the latter. Mm-hmm. I would say we started just sort of navigating and constantly iterating. And as we iterated, we kept shifting. Mm-hmm. And like any startup, we're still shifting today. As we learn the space, we learn new problems, we see if our product can fit that. And if we do a slight pivot, mm-hmm. can it capture that market? So yeah, it started with just the idea of being able to enable creators. And we realized that a good lesson here, right, is companies don't create intellectual property. People do. But people aren't really empowered. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing was to say, with decentralized technology, can we give some of that power back to the creator? Would they be more willing to contribute ideas and IP to a company mm-hmm. if the attribution was back to the person?
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So we looked at it as like LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn is great at documenting your experience mm-hmm. and your accolades and your credentials. Mm-hmm. But what about all the things you contribute to mm-hmm. in a company mm-hmm. over the course of however many years you're with them? You can talk about through your experience, but there's really no software to prove that you contributed to this piece of IP.
Right.
And so we saw it as a way of empowering the creators. And that's still one of our core missions is we're building for the creator, not necessarily for the company. The mm-hmm. company owns and manages.
Right.
But the people are the ones that you really want to get fired up and incentivized to mm-hmm. create IP for mm-hmm. you.
Right. Do companies feel a conflict with that? Do they feel like, I will have extra responsibilities when I acknowledge who my creators are versus it all going into the kitty?
Yeah, I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. I think the industry, in my experience, mm-hmm. has always been hard to incentivize people to document. And so there's this whole knowledge management piece. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to take it a step further of classifying that knowledge and making sure that the institutional knowledge in someone's head, when they walk away, can mm-hmm. really hurt a company.
Yes.
So if you can incentivize them to take that institutional knowledge, those trade secrets, and be able to incentivize them to document those mm-hmm. and be able to pass that ownership directly onto the company and enable that company to protect that now mm-hmm. or use that to educate the rest of their workforce, mm-hmm. we see it as a huge upside and a huge benefit for a company to want to use our software. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a way to document big ideas, so to speak, but also just the nitty-gritty of running your business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're trying to build a full-stack intellectual property management system that goes everything from documentation to protection, to collaboration, mm-hmm. and then moves into our real hope for the future is to enable IP in a new way and mm-hmm. give people a new opportunity because IP is everywhere.
Right.
And it's really hard to be discovered. Most people aren't good at showcasing their mm-hmm. IP and getting it out there.
Yes.
We think we can build a platform that will allow you to showcase and allow your IP to be discoverable. And then with new technologies coming with AI, augmented and virtual reality and metaverse, there's a ton of opportunity coming for how you can utilize your current IP in new ways.
Yeah. Well, you bring us to the audience that we have here, which are expertise-based businesses, service providers, professional services providers who have corporate clients who aren't thinking. They're thinking about, how do I build scale into my business? How do I build a business that has some independence from me just selling my time? And they know that it somehow involves creating assets and leveraging them, but they don't always call it IP or intellectual property. I like that you talk about ideas because mostly yes. they ask, you know, how do I protect my ideas? That's mm-hmm. generally. And it's very kind of overwhelming. I'd like to say intellectual property is everywhere. Every time we use our intellect, we're creating intellectual property. But how do we help them understand it? How do we help them categorize it, inventory it, protect it? And so how does Big Idea Platform help?
Yeah, we actually have the same challenge. The feedback I just received a little bit ago was like, you got to cut the word intellectual property out. Like people don't connect yes. necessarily with mm-hmm. that word unless they're in the industry. So what we call them are intellectual digital assets. And I know that's not a better term than intellectual property, but moving it more to a tokenization or digitalization mm-hmm. using blockchain, we allow someone to come in and register a creation, mm-hmm. a piece of work. That could be an idea. That could be a copyright, a new mm-hmm. material. And then we wrap that into a container that we call an intellectual asset. Mm-hmm. So our platform at first, like just getting it documented and classified is huge. And so as you start registering your intellectual assets or your different pieces of IP, you start building out what we call your intellectual capital.
Okay.
So that's like the first sort of stage, I think, of like really helping out companies is mm-hmm. just to document and get to a place where your IP can start working for you. Mm-hmm. Once you have intellectual capital, mm-hmm. if you're a company that's looking to grow, looking to get financing, looking mm-hmm. to fundraise, you said it best, they're assets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so the more we can document and build your portfolio of assets, mm-hmm. those can be leveraged in conversations when it comes to financing. And investors and financiers, they love to know what's behind you, what's behind your company. Like, what am I truly investing in?
Yes.
And those assets are what make you unique. So I think just starting with building your portfolio and giving a very simple, efficient, and low-cost tool to allow people to register. Now, the whole blockchain piece, again, I know we've talked about it can be scary. We just put it in the background, right? So we make it super easy. We don't put any burden on the user. We just use it in the background to be able to go back and audit and prove that this asset was created here by this person. So that's sort of like the first step, I think, in utilizing us.
Yeah. The language that we use, you use, I use, is so important. Yeah. Probably laugh a little bit when you mentioned intellectual capital. So, you know, I come from the corporate background. Everything is
yes.
IP. And then you have to like kind of modify how you talk about it.
When you figure it out, can you let me know? Because I think assets is the key. People relate to assets. And that's why we try to just talk about them. These are just intellectual assets.
Yeah.
Which is, I know, still a new concept. Mm-hmm. But hopefully people can grab a little bit more towards that.
Yeah. I was talking to my team earlier today and we were talking about, you know, one of the audiences we like to talk to are business coaches who help experts create scale. And I have been busy cataloging how business coaches talk about how they help their client scale. And it's like this list that's growing of all the ways that they talk about scale without ever using the term intellectual property. I'm like, how is it nowhere? You know, they'll have whole webinars that everything and never once do they use the term intellectual property. So I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to get in there.
It's amazing. We're constantly trying to connect with, we don't call our users users. Mm-hmm. We call them creators. We try to relate to them in a different way that everyone's a creator. Mm-hmm. And I think with new technology, with Gen AI and all the new tools out there, I think everyone at some point is going to be a creator. Mm-hmm. Most people are already on social media. They're on Instagram. They're taking pictures. They're creating. They just don't know it. And so what they're really taking every time is they are creating that IP.
Right.
And so we're trying to connect with them at a level of really trying to empower the creator in you. Mm-hmm. And then how does that work for your business?
Mm-hmm. Well, how easy is it to use the platform?
I'm biased. I think it's really easy. There is, I think, in the front, it's a little bit difficult getting started. We're working on trying to figure that piece out. But once you're in, it's really, really easy to use. One of our main principles when building this was to build a very usable, very high-end user experience. Mm-hmm. The reason for that, not to get too technical, right? We heard of Web 2 and Web 3, sort of the shift we're moving into. If you ever dabbled into the blockchain Web 3 space, the user experience is horrible. We really, in the last 10 years, have perfected the Web 2 space. Okay. Instagram, Facebook, Google, it's very easy. Your parents are using it. Your grandparents are now using it. Like everyone's on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so we really did a lot of good the last 10 years. And then Web 3 came along and sort of ruined a lot of that.
Just tell us Web 2 versus Web 3.
Yes, I'll give you my explanation of it. And hopefully that works. So Web 1 was the ability to just be able to post out there. So think about just going to a company's website and seeing a billboard of what they're selling. Web 2 was the ability to interact. We call that read and write. So now you can, like Instagram, you can now post. Wikipedia, you can post. You can build communities to read the internet, but also write to it. Web 3 gets into ownership. So you've never been able to own anything before.
Right.
When you post on Facebook, you post on Instagram, they own that.
Yes.
You can't pull that information back out. So Web 3 is a new world where the individual creator is now able to own the materials they're posting. So it's a really cool place where we're going, trying to explain as easy as possible. So going back to the user experience, we try to bridge the gap. Okay. We try to put all that Web 3 behind the scenes and make a really elegant user experience while giving them the UI they're used to clicking on, nice big buttons, being able to write and document just like you would in Google. But like I said, the beginning is a little tough is because we do require every person or every creator to prove identity. So one little step, one little hurdle we go through, the ability to take a picture of the front and the back of your ID.
Yeah, I do have an account. I remember going through that. Yes. Yeah.
So that's like the one hurdle, but like that step's really important because now we're able to assign IP directly to an identity, not just you as a user, you as an identity. And to me, that's really cool because it's an immutable record now that this person, this human created this IP. And so there's a really important reason for it. But once you get over it, I think it's actually pretty easy to use. And then we just got to massage how we talk about things, right? Like not necessarily calling things IP and figuring out a better usable word to represent that.
Right. So one of the ways you're helping people is like helping them actually reach the, is it USPTO?
USPTO, yep.
Yeah. And so tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're not here to compete with the patent service that the United States offers and today and traditional IP. And so as we talked about, right, we started as an idea management. We moved into trade secrets and copyrights, and we realized that we can keep going. We can capture all different types of IP. And so most recently, at our latest update coming out later this month, we've actually integrated directly into the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Amazing.
So now you're like, well, I already have a patent, I already have a trademark, so what? But now we're able to sort of ingest that into our platform and one, represent it as an intellectual asset as part of your portfolio and allow you to manage it all in one place. But the really cool stuff is what to come of what we are going to be able to do with that once it's in our platform. So again, our main mission is to make IP, enable IP, give it opportunity to thrive in the digital landscape. And so the very first thing is you need to register it. And once you register it, what we're building next, I think, is going to be pretty cool and give users and creators new ways of creating revenue.
Well, let's talk about what you're building next.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're in the building stages right now. And so everything we built today on our platform around portfolio management, collaboration, and we didn't really talk about a marketplace, but we do have a marketplace feature. All of this was sort of foundational for us to be able to get started on to really build the next wave of how we're going to enable IP. And so our plans is if we can take a digital asset or digital intellectual asset, and then we can facilitate licensing agreements with other people and other parties, well, we can also facilitate artificial intelligent licensing agreements. Very interesting, right? And so once we have those different licensing agreements, we can actually partner with different AI engines. So as an example, ChatGPT is an AI engine, DALL-E, Midjourney.
Right.
We can partner with these types of companies. We can actually take the licensing agreement as well as the intellectual asset and ingest it directly into the AI engine.
So they actually have a license to use it instead of just stealing it. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Well, I will say, like, so a good example that I always use, if you right now go to ChatGPT or go to DALL-E, which is the image generator of ChatGPT, and you type in, draw me a picture of Taylor Swift holding a can of Coke, it's not going to generate what you think it's going to. It's going to generate you probably a woman that's blonde, maybe country-esque, holding a red can without any labels. So right now, all the AI engines are actually really good at making sure they're not infringing on top of trademarks or likeness or other types of IP. And so everyone looks at them like, well, that's amazing they can do that. And it is. But think about how much it's limiting them to be able to use. And so if you're able to go out and license Taylor Swift's likeness for who knows how much money that costs nowadays, and also be able to license out the trademark for Coke, well, you could go back, ingest those licensing agreements directly into an AI engine and generate the exact image you were thinking about in your head. And the cool thing is the terms and conditions of that licensing contract. Well, why aren't they just part of the prompt that goes in to make sure that AI stays compliant with the terms of the contract? And so I think we're entering a really cool world. We have to first get a ton of IP into our system and have it registered. And then we really are looking forward to how we're going to enable creators for the future.
And so would you have a mass license, like all the assets that we have, people would opt in, opt out? How would you?
Yeah, I mean, it's about just treating IP as an intellectual asset and then allowing you to have full control of the management of that asset. So you have the ability to make that public, make that private.
Okay. So you kind of have toggles of what.
Exactly. It's a bunch of configuration options. And again, we're trying to make it easy. And again, we're not trying to compete with lawyers or agencies. We actually see this as a new way for agencies and lawyers to actually manage and come in and help manage these assets. So I don't know from your perspective as an attorney.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all want licensing to be easier, right? I mean, so we have things like Creative Commons where you have kind of standardized licensing that you don't need to negotiate an individual license for. And you have services like, is it the copyright? CCC, I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. So they have kind of just, they can license for you if you want something from the New York Times or from Harvard Business Journal or whatever. And so we want things like that. We want ideas to get spread around. We want people to be have an easy way to access our content because guess what? They steal it if they can't figure out how to do it. And so it's better for everybody to have an easy way that people can get access. So, yeah, I don't think lawyers are really that. It's the one-on-one stuff, right? That's still the stuff that you need, presumably need lawyers for.
And we're trying to build flexibility into our site. So we're starting with standard agreements that people can just use off the shelf or give them the option to upload their own, right? And then be able to make sure that the other party understands that this is not a standard contract, that this is something written custom, and you may just want to take an extra glance and have it reviewed by your attorney before entering it. So The licensing space is complicated. Mm-hmm. We're trying our best to simplify it, but mm-hmm. Start out, we'll just keep it very open to allow people to be able to use their own contracts if they're more mm-hmm. comfortable with that.
Right. So for instance, I'm called the graphics queen. I love to kind of visualize different concepts. And so I had someone just last week ask me if she could use one of my graphics with her materials and say, I honestly just said yes. And yeah. But is that something where I could have uploaded that and she comes to me and say, hey, I would like to use this content. I send them over to Big Idea and go through there?
Absolutely. Okay. That's such a great, amazing example. So yeah, if you would have wrapped that and created mm-hmm. that as a intellectual asset, mm-hmm. you could have just sent her a link. Mm-hmm. She could have registered solid. Maybe that image is like your eyes only. Mm-hmm. And so we'll actually even, you could protect it with a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh,
and so
okay.
you could actually send them a link, but mm-hmm. before they could actually see the contents of it, they're actually signing an NDA first. And then you can enter into sort of negotiations. Mm-hmm. And so depends on if you're selling it or you're licensing it, you'll have the option of a one-click button to be mm-hmm. able to go and license that from you. So mm-hmm. we're hoping to be able to offer an express license, mm-hmm. like you talked about, right. just a one easy click. Here's the terms and conditions of what you mm-hmm. can use it for. And that person in our site has a choice to want to do it or not. Mm-hmm. And then we execute that full contract right there. So mm-hmm. there's no need to go outside our platform and just keeps it very efficient and very mm-hmm. easy. So yeah, that's a great example. Yeah. And then we're also looking at digital likeness and voice rights are, mm-hmm. are a big theme coming up with AI and deepfakes. Right. Mm-hmm. So why not be able to register your likeness and voice rights as an intellectual asset and mm-hmm. do the same thing and mm-hmm. just easily license that out or just consent, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing is with that is you have to have the ability to consent. Then you have to have the ability to license. And then once you license it, right, monetize and tracking. There's just a lot of options mm-hmm. we can go. We're not trying to boil the ocean, but we're trying mm-hmm. to stay broad that we can capture all types of IP mm-hmm. and figuring out and really let up to the users mm-hmm. for how they want to utilize this to mm-hmm. fit their business or their model.
All right. Now, you have many, many use cases, but I just thought of one, as you mentioned
this. I'm all ears.
Which is due diligence rooms. So people can just kind of have everything in there and then buyer wants to look at it. They go in through there.
Yeah. So collaboration, again, a big point. Today, what we offer is the ability to invite someone into your intellectual asset. You can add them as a collaborator, you can decide what role they have, and you can facilitate it. They require an NDA before they're able to collaborate and mm-hmm. see what's going on. And then the cool thing, again, going back to this blockchain technology behind the scenes, we are able to capture every edit that everyone's making. Mm-hmm. And so you have this immutable log of being able to contribute together on this asset, and every change, every revision is rehashed and posted back up on our ledger. And we're able to assign attribution to each person's change mm-hmm. or upload of documents. So we do see ourselves as a massive collaboration mm-hmm. to what you are getting into. And something that we'll be releasing in April is part of our workspaces, the ability to not only invite creators in, but mm-hmm. businesses in now. And then we'll have the ability of creating data rooms. Data rooms are sometimes like a one-way facing way. Mm-hmm. It's great for like M&A events mm-hmm. or if you're negotiating a financing deal. So we have the ability of not only doing data rooms, but like these collaboration zones. So you can add multiple intellectual mm-hmm. assets into a room or documents into a room. Mm-hmm. And again, it's completely tracked of who owns what mm-hmm. and who's contributing what to really bring that transparency mm-hmm. that collaboration needs. Mm-hmm. And transparency to me builds trust.
Right.
Obviously, I know you just recently talked about collaboration.
Yes. thinking about it.
Yeah, needing agreements.
Right.
And so like we just want to be able to be the technology that enables the compliance of that agreement.
Right.
So, lots of good stuff coming. Uh-huh. We're very, very excited about that release and being able to start working with businesses to enable them.
And so today, someone can go to, is it bigidea.com? And
it is bigideaplatform.com.
Okay, great.
But it is available for individual users to sign up mm-hmm. to identify themselves and be able to start creating their first intellectual assets. And if they want, they can go ahead and keep everything private and build their portfolio or mm-hmm. their intellectual capital, or they can make it public and make it discoverable mm-hmm. so that people can search and find it. Maybe there's multiple reasons why you may want to have mm-hmm. your IP discoverable.
Would Google find it, or you have to be?
Right now, we're not indexing anything.
Okay.
This is probably my healthcare background around mm-hmm. privacy. We don't index anything from these ideas. And so you have to be a validated user in order to be on our platform. And again, it also comes down to auditing, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to see who's viewing mm-hmm. different assets. So in order to do that, we track who's able to do the different pieces.
Right. You're also reminded of the poor man's copyright. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
So I guess if I have deposited something without registering at the copyright office, mm-hmm. I can prove that I created it before somebody else created theirs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's a very efficient mm-hmm. poor man's copyright mm-hmm. to be able to go in there and take a piece of work classify it as copyright, and we will go ahead and do all the attribution, timestamping, and authenticity for you. So it's a very, very efficient way. Obviously, once you create a piece of work, it is protected under copyright, but sometimes it's hard to prove when you created it. Correct. Ours just gives you an extra level to be able to prove that out. I will say the cool thing is I'm learning this. I'm not a lawyer by trade, but I'm learning the space pretty quickly that if you created something, it's copyrighted. It may not give you the same rights as a registered copyright with the Copyright Office, but you can always register that at any time. So if you start seeing your copyrights being infringed, you can still go get it registered and offer that level of protection, that extra level of protection. And then we can go and eventually pull that copyright and show that this is a registered copyright to make sure that users know that there's additional level of a registered copyright here.
Now, has blockchain or been used as evidence in litigation yet? Do you know?
It has in many niche use cases to prove, mostly in the finance world around transactions. There's a lot of research out there that shows of how it can be used as basically a notary or a public timestamp of events. And so it has been used in a lot of cases, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it happen going forward. I get back to IP just really hasn't been an industry that's really been tested with these new types of technology, even in AI. Like, I think our laws and the industry is not ready for Gen AI.
No, not at all.
And we're seeing the USPTO and copyright trying to figure it out quickly and figure out what side they want to be on. And so I think in the next few years, we're going to see a couple cases being tried here, and we're obviously paying attention very closely. But yeah, there's been some niche cases that are there, but nothing substantial yet to really back behind.
God, okay. Well, speaking of the future, I mean, you created this business.
Yeah.
So many people start a business in order for the exit, the ultimate exit. How do you look at this business, your role in it, what your next step would be for you to exit?
That's a good question. I don't fully know the answer yet, but I know I look at technology from an industry level, and I look at it from, I think industries go through two different stages with technology. It goes through a consolidated stage, which I think where the IP has been, and then it goes through a disruptive stage. And so I think the IP space is primed for disruption, just like healthcare was 10 years ago and has now gradually moved into the consolidated stage. So I look at it from that perspective. And so I think we're just on the beginning of the disruptive stage in this legal tech or IP tech type of world. And so I'm really excited to ride this wave. And I think in the next 5-7 years, when we start moving to that consolidated stage again, we'll see where we're at and we'll take that position. But I have learned one thing about myself. I'm not made for corporate America. So I am sure, regardless of where we are with Big Idea, I will be probably in a similar position. I love being in the high growth startups wearing multiple hats. And so I know that's where I'll probably be in the next few years, regardless of where this goes. But I'm just excited about all the opportunity out there.
That is awesome. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for making the time to talk to our audience. It's something that they all ask about. So I know this is going to be very exciting for them. So once again, so it was bigideaplatform.com.
Nailed it.
And if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
You can email us directly at info@bigideaplatform.com. Hop on our website at bigideaplatform.com. And through that website, you can find our contact information as well as be able to launch the app that will get you right into our platform.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
This week's episode of the Hourly to Exit podcast is sponsored by the NDA Navigator. Non-disclosure agreements, also known as NDAs, are the bedrock of protecting your ideas and your business's confidential information. Of course, I recommend that you have a lawyer review any agreement before you sign it. However, facing a constant stream of NDAs can be overwhelming, especially when time and budget constraints prevent you from seeking full legal review. That's where the NDA Navigator comes in. Designed specifically for entrepreneurs, consultants, and business owners with corporate clients, the NDA Navigator is your guide to understanding, negotiating, and implementing NDAs. Empower yourself with legal insights and practical tools when you don't have the time or funds for a full legal review. Get 20% off by using the coupon code H2E at protectyourexpertise.com. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Hourly to Exit podcast. Don't forget to check out the show notes for the resources and organizations mentioned during the episode. If you find the podcast to be valuable, please subscribe so you get notified of new episodes every week. And I would be so grateful for a rating and review, and it helps get the word out. See you next week.